So we're going to look at God's word together, and we're looking at Colossians 3. Is it coming up on the screens? Oh, magic. No, it's not really, but there we go. Colossians 3, 1 to 17, if you want to follow on your own devices, or you've even got a Bible, paper version. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of death, of earth. Sorry. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these things, these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
There's occasions when the same thing comes up in all sorts of different places, and this morning has been an example of that in the prayer meeting this morning, in the songs that we've been singing, in the prayers. It's been coming back again and again and again. My title is Don't Be Anxious. I read the readings from the New Living Translation. You may have found it slightly different, but the New Living Translation I find is very refreshing. And as it says, it's new. It's up to date. It's really good. So I recommend it to you. Not only Colossians 3, but there's a connection with other scriptures. And this is what I think is really important. Sometimes you find something and it just runs all through the Bible. It's there everywhere. And I think that makes it really, really, really important. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now it's confession time. Not for you, for me. These passages and other passages of the Bible have bothered me for a long time because I'm a worrier. My peace of mind is not my default setting. And I know worrying's pointless. It doesn't change anything, but still I do it. I'd like to make a distinction at the moment, because Jesus talks about worrying and Paul talks about being anxious. I think there's a difference between those two things. And I think sometimes worry is okay. You know, you're worried about something with reason and you know what to do about it. And the worry, if you like, sort of just spurs you on to get on and do it. Anxiety, on the other hand, is rather different. Anxiety eats away inside you. Where worry, I looked this up a little bit. The experts say worry happens when you focus on a particular problem, a particular situation, for example, preparing a sermon, or planning a special occasion, or being on time for something. That we often worry about that kind of thing, but anxiety is more intense. It lingers. It raises your blood pressure. It causes you to sweat. You can get a tight feeling in your chest, and it paralyzes us. You can't think clearly. You can't get things done because it just it overwhelms. That's anxiety, and it's not good. Anyway, I heard about a man who had a solution to worrying. He gave himself permission to worry, but not until Wednesday. And every day of the week except Wednesday, he would write down any worry that came to mind. He put it in a box and leave it until Worry Wednesday came along, as he called it. And then, with the worry put away for the time being, he would worship God. He was a Christian. And when Worry Wednesday came, he'd open the box, and he'd usually find that the vast majority of things that he'd been tempted to worry about had already been and gone. I tried it, like you would. And it sort of worked, except for the fact that I forgot to open the box on Wednesday. This is true. Anyway, later I stumbled upon the list of worries that I'd written, and actually, they'd lost their power to stress me out. I read it through and thought, yeah, all right. So there you are, you can take it or leave it. The point is, the man gave himself permission to worry, but not yet. And instead of worrying, he focused on God, the sovereignty of God. God is in control. You may not think so, well, you're wrong. God is sovereign over all. And then there's the power of God. It's way beyond our imagination. And God's love, incomparable. So somehow, knowing that, focusing on that, worrying becomes unnecessary. We are safe no matter what. And it's the no matter what that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? I may have told you before of an occasion quite a few years ago while I was still working as a teacher. It was Saturday night and I was preparing for Monday and I got particularly anxious, really anxious, to the point where I ground to a halt, frankly. And finally, I turned to the Bible. And as it happens, I came across Colossians 3, verse 15, which says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. The NIV says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, with the emphasis on let and rule. You see, I had a problem. As a Christian, I thought Christians weren't supposed to worry. They weren't supposed to get anxious. So there was a sort of turmoil inside of me about that. The fact of the matter is, it isn't quite that simple. Because expecting God to just fill me with peace is not the way it works. I have to receive that peace. That's why that word let is in there. God is offering me peace. There's no shortage of peace. It's not, you know, it's the only peace, actually. But we have to receive it. And that means we have to give up holding on to our situation because we're worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and we can't let go of it. I had another day recently when I came under a great deal of stress. Three separate things came along that began worrying me all at the same time. And as the day went on, it just got worse. And when I'd solved one of the problems, it just led to another. And then I remembered Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You see, there was nothing I could do about what was worrying me. But one thing I could do was I could submit to the rule of God. I could bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you're in control, not me. I can't do anything about this, but I know you can. And leave it with him. Trust him with it. I could submit to the rule of God and let the peace of God take over. Submitting to the rule of God. Submission means giving in, letting go. Have you heard that phrase, let go and let God? I think that's it. Because the point is depending on God instead of on myself. And when I remembered that the other day, the fact that I had to receive the peace of God, something happened. It was amazing. One of the three sources of stress just was dealt with immediately. And the other two were also sorted out not long after. I believe because I was relying on God to carry me through. And that's the point. He doesn't remove us from the circumstances, but he's promised us to be with us regardless. You may have to walk through terrible experiences. I know that the church over this last few months has been rocked by a series of people dying and other things, illnesses, all kinds of stuff. Stuff that not all of us we appreciate because, you know, some people are suffering, some aren't. But we suffer as a body because we are the church. And it's been lovely to see everybody churning up to the services and to the celebrations of life. But there's been other things happening too. And it's been a tough time. And we are not to expect that this life is not going to be hard. If we do, we're going to be wrong. We're going to be disappointed. It's going to be even harder than it is. But recognizing that we are not exempt from the pressures and pains and sadnesses and sorrows of this world. But we have an anchor. I talked about that recently. I looked back over that process the other day and I worked out what was happening. There was a process going on. Things happened that were potentially worrying. That was the first thing. The second thing was my reaction to those things was to get stressed out. And the third thing was when I remembered Colossians 3:15. I've been thinking about worrying a lot. I think worrying is the way we all try to deal with things by ourselves. That's what worrying is about. We're trying to deal with something by ourselves. If we're not careful, it can grow into anxiety. A sort of fear. Fear of the future. What's going to happen? What if? You know, what if not? What if this isn't going to happen? What if worrying about the future while all along God's waiting for us to let him take over? Because his power and love are so much greater than ours. This is what I believe this scripture is saying to us this morning. I've been reading the Bible for years, and as a result of that, certain passages have come to mean something to me. And as a result, I remember them. It's not an effort learning scripture, it's because I've read them so many times, I remember them. And one of these is Colossians 3:15. Now, I have to say something here, I'm afraid. I'm amazed how many Christians I meet who don't read the Bible regularly. I'd like to imagine for a moment somebody with only one leg and who needs crutches to get about. But he gets tired of using them, so he leaves them at home. I don't need to tell you, we wouldn't get very far. And that's what it's like if you try the Christian life without the Word of God. I remember Bear Grylls, I think it was on the Alpha Course, Bear Grylls was interviewed once, and he said, one of the other soldiers that he was with said, religion, Christianity is just a crutch. And Bear Grylls said, yeah, and I'm really grateful for it. And that's the point. We are leaning on God. We're leaning on Jesus. We're not enough by ourselves, so trying by ourselves is bound to be a disappointment. Anyway, I'd just like to run through some of the things that Colossians 3 says, because it's always a bad idea to take a single verse out of context. That's why we read so much of that passage. Because that promise that if we let God give us peace, we will receive that peace because it's His. He is the Prince of Peace, remember? That promise is in the context of a larger passage of Scripture. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, if you're a Christian, you've been raised to life, a new life. The old life's dead. And it says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. In our quiet times, do we envision Jesus there? King of kings, Lord of lords, in his glory. You know, the disciples briefly saw on that mountain when Jesus was transfigured, the glory of Jesus. Oh, I long to see that. I long to see that. It goes on, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's saying, if anyone's a Christian, our old sinful life is dead. We have a new life which is in Christ. And the evidence of that is that life looks different. Now, for some of you, I realize, you know, it's been a long time, so you've forgotten what it was like before. But I remember it vividly the day I became a Christian. Everything seemed different. People seemed different. The way I saw the world was different. It's the beginning of a new life. The new life means we can choose to live like Jesus. Christians don't automatically follow Jesus, by the way. That's why it's nice to be able to say I'm a follower of Jesus. It means something. Anyway, that's another issue. We can choose to live like Jesus. We can begin a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of problems about the Holy Spirit. I know that, the doctrines, and as somebody we were talking about, different churches and what they think and that. So I don't care. All I know is that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and that he would make all the difference in our lives. So please, depend on the Holy Spirit. He's there. Anyway, verse 5 goes on, and the next bit of the passage, where are we now? We're on part, yeah, fit. This bit here, that's the new life. Living like this, it says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. I could go on for a long time about what that means. We haven't got time. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We haven't got time to go into all of that. You'll need to read it for yourself. But I'm sure that if you're like me, something on that list will have popped up and said, yes, I need to do something about that. Or maybe not. Moving on. Put on your new nature. That's what it says. We do that. We have to put on that. We do that. We put on the new nature when we say no to the temptations of the old life. And we all know what those are. We all know what the sins we are tempted to do, or that we commit without even thinking about it. They've long been part of us. In fact, I've heard some people say, oh, it's the way I am. Well, yes, maybe it is, but that's no excuse for not changing. Put on your new nature, it says, and then it goes on, be renewed. Hang on a minute. Put on your new nature, be renewed. There's a two-parter here. It's this willingness to change. We can't renew ourselves, but if we're willing to be renewed, God will enable us to change, to be different, to be like Jesus. And we have a choice, either to cooperate with him by doing what he says, putting on the new life, or we can try to hang on to the old life. It doesn't work, by the way, because it's dead. The old life wants us to live like before we met Jesus, like those who have no interest in God. It's not easy, obviously, changing the habits of the old life, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to do it. So it goes on, clothe yourselves in verse 12. Clothe yourselves. Have we got that? Verse 12, yeah. Clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And above all, verse 14, clothe yourselves with love. Look at that list. Mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's God. God is merciful. God is kind. God is humble. God is gentle. God is patient, and we can be too. God wants us to become like him, and he is working to do that, but he needs our cooperation. The Bible is very clear that we were created in the image of God, but that image has been distorted by our sin. And so Jesus died on the cross to save us from those sins and begin the process of renewal. Renewal in the image of the Father. Do you believe that? God is working to make you and me like him. Kind, gentle, merciful, patient, humble, and so on. Jesus is our role model. I know it takes time, and it says that we have to know him more. That means spending time with him, getting to know him. And as we seek Jesus, we make Jesus our role model. And finally, verse 15. Is it there? Can we have verse 15? There it is down there. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. Those two words again. Let. It means consciously agreeing that God is more powerful than our circumstances and that he's working for our good. Consciously agreeing that that's the truth. No matter how painful or difficult it may seem, God will bring us through whatever trials we're facing. And right at the very end, right down the bottom there, there's that word that was there mentioned earlier in the service. And always be thankful. I don't know whether you realize this, but Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter and the letter to the Philippians. And he says, nevertheless, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul's answer to the challenges and problems of life is not to dwell on them, but to pray on them, to offer them up to God, and be thankful. God's great enough, God's powerful enough, God's good enough, that even when we don't understand why he does or doesn't do something, we can still trust him. Trust him with our problems, trust him with our prayers. And in the meantime, consider how much we have to be thankful for. We've already thought about that. I want to add a few to the list. God will never leave us or forsake us. His love and grace and presence will always be with us until we're gathered to glory and know the inexpressible joy and wonder of an eternity spent with God. Think about this. I came across a way of looking at all this. You know, people say, well, I'm a half full glass person, you know, glass half full, or maybe I'm a glass half empty person. Well, if you don't have Jesus in your life, it's not enough to consider whether the glass is half empty or half full, but whether there's anything in the glass at all. But with God, that all changes. Our glass isn't just full, we're sitting next to the tap. No matter what difficulties and challenges face us, we know what our future holds. So looking back on that day, just a few weeks ago when I remembered this verse, I knew Jesus was the answer. But the question in my mind was this. I thought to myself right then, after he'd been so good to me, why would he bother with me? And you might be thinking the same thing. And immediately the answer came. Because I love you. As any good father loves their child and wants to comfort them, God, the Father, puts his powerful arms around us and says, it's okay, I've got you. It's okay, I've got you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you are the God of peace. And you have promised to be with us. Please come by your Holy Spirit and be with everyone listening now. Fill us afresh with your presence and your peace, and help us live lives focused on you and your ways. Amen.